Hello, everybody. I'm Richard. Go on.
He's very, very keen. We got to work in. You can't blame him. Yep. So, Richard, that one's for Richard. Yep. So we are recording the speeches today, which will become a little bit relevant afterwards. Why I'm telling you that beforehand. So it's quite a big thing for Richard to be up the front. We welcome him here this morning. He's very keen and very excited, but you'll understand there's lots of things he's going to say today. You're not that nervous.
I'm more
nervous than you, to tell the truth. So yes, we'll handle Richard. We try to break it into three parts. The one thing I will say, just for you guys to think of now, after we finish, what we want to do is we want to have some time to pray for Richard. I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front, but I would value your prayers after we finish with Richard. If you feel it's right, that you pray out loud for Richard, and we'll have a short time to do that. And we'll likewise be doing the same for Helen afterwards. So after we finish with Richard, we are going to pray for him and for his family. And it'd be great if you could join us in that prayer with a couple of you praying. Probably be much appreciated. Okay then, so we know your name's Richard.
Right.
And we'll let you kick
start
off
again.
Far away.
Hi, I'm Richard. I'm Ruth's son, for people who don't know me. I don't really come out and really speak in front of people, so it's a bit hard for me. But I'm sure if Jesus could go to the cross, I can come up here and speak. So just bear with me. I just try. Basically, I'm up here to tell a bit about my life. Well, about my life and how I've come to God, and basically all the way through. So I'm going to just try and stick it in to as at least time as possible. So basically, I grew up in a Christian family. My mum, dad, and my brother, and my nan and granddad, basically we're all Christians, going to church and going to school as normal. And basically, I started getting in with the wrong crowd, being naughty. Usually it was me making the kids do something.
You're the instigator.
I was the instigator. And basically, I liked having a laugh and getting in trouble. But then, when I was a little bit older, about 10, 12, I started like mixing my little things and smoked a spliff and had a drink and things like that. And then I got into another crowd of people with drugs, taking drugs. A lot older people than me, they were about 18, 19. And they thought it was funny to give this young kid drugs, basically, and thought it was funny that he could take them. So obviously I started getting into things like LSD and speed and smoking a lot of weed. And basically everything sort of went downhill for me. I'd come away from God and stopped going to church and started like getting into a cult, really, with like witchcraft and things. And really that I wanted to run the universe, what the devil wanted to do. He wanted to be more powerful than God and be most high. Basically, I wanted to know all the meanings of the universe, and basically, I really wanted that power. And I was willing to go out and get this. And I used to just give you an example. Once I was taking LSD, which opens your mind to perceptions, and I was walking down the street, and I was shouting at God and the devil at the same time, like telling them both, like, you know, why won't you give me this, and why won't you give me the answers and the power I want, and like stop messing around. And that's how serious I really was. And it was quite bad, really, thinking about it, how far I went with the devil as well. But God let me go away with him, and he showed, basically let me go down that path. I thought that was power, like money, fame, and people to fear me. I wanted people to fear me and listen to me and respect me, basically. And then right down the path, basically, God showed me that all that was wrong. Basically, the power I wanted was love, and that's what God is. God is love. And so all of a sudden, I realized that everything I wanted, all that, like all the bad stuff and all like the fame, the money and the drugs and women and everything else and all that power and people to fear me, that was pointless. I didn't want that. That's not what I really wanted. That was stupid. So basically, I wanted love. I wanted God, basically. So my mum asked me one day, do you want to come to church? You know when you just say to someone, yeah, I'll come, I'll do something, without thinking what you said? And I thought, oh, I can't let her down now. So I ended up going back to church. It was in Gospel Hall, Plassey Gospel Hall.
I'm just going to hold you a minute there.
Sorry, go on.
This is one of the things now, this is why we've written these down, because it's what Richard, because I've spent quite a fair few hours and we've been to this as our group, and Richard's trying to get to the end before he's got to some of the middle part.
Sorry.
So we're just going to claw
help
it back
me,
a little
help
bit.
Me, yeah.
He's jumped 4 years. Doesn't sound an awful lot. Those 4 years, rest assured,
happened.
That more than 99% of you have done in your lifetime. And he did those in 4 years. So we're just going to take him back, just to recap, so we've broken this into ages.
Thanks.
From 8 to 12 years of age, he got mixed up in crowds with people you don't want to even understand the types of people they were with. And as he started mentioning, there's drugs like LSD, weed and ganja. LSD really opened up in his mind. And that's when he stopped going to church, about 12 years of age. Okay, so that's when he stopped going. Up until then, he was going all the time, not a problem. As he said, at the ages of 15 to 19 is when he started doing his witchcraft. Okay, and that's the bit where he wanted to run the universe, etc. But we're just going to bring you back to this point here.
So if we can talk
about that there. By the way, what he's going to tell you now, he's age 15. Okay, 15.
When I was 15, basically, I was selling drugs as well at the time. And I had 300 pills, ecstasy pills, given to me on credit, was on tick. And basically, this drug dealer was a pretty, like, gangsters, basically. They used to run nightclubs, raves, and they were big guys, you know, Mercedes and all these big cars. And basically, he found out that I was 15 and I had these drugs ticked off me off one of his boys. So he told me to come out of the pub in Penarth, the Plymouth. He said, come out to my office, basically go out to his car. So I've gone out the back into his car, got into the car, and basically he threatened me with a shotgun, saying if I didn't get the money by Friday, that was a Monday, if I didn't get the money by Friday for the pills, that he was going to kill me. And basically, I'm sat in the car, and I'm 15 years old. You know, even though I've got all this, and you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm it and all that. Basically, tears come down my face. I was totally scared, thinking I'm going to get shot now, over a £300 debt. And, you know, that was really scary. So this is the type of people I was mixing with. Not just, like, you know, it was hard. So basically, I was lucky. The next day, I went to see a friend. I lent the money, took it to him, paid him off, and I never dealt with that guy again. But these are the type of people I was dealing with. So then when I was about 17, I ended up in jail. Like, I was off my face, totally mad out there, and next minute I'm locked up in jail. I've never been in jail before. And virtually every day in jail, I will not mean this now, I nearly died every day I was in jail. I was in there for 3 weeks to 4 weeks. Basically, I just had loads of fights and violence, and I was in there for assault anyway, on police officers and burglaries, and basically I was quite violent anyway. So I was in prison, now I'm fighting all the time, nearly dying. And basically, when I went back to court, the governor said to the jail, I don't want this kid, he sent a letter to the judge saying, I don't want this kid back in, he's too much trouble. So you can imagine how bad I was. So then I went into a bail hostel. I got stabbed in my shoulder. I got kicked out of there, and I was put to my mother's house for 24-hour curfew. One allowed out, and I was in my mother's care for 4 months. Then, basically, like I said, I'm with my mum. I've started going to Plassey Gospel Church. At the time as well, I was injecting speed. So I was still taking drugs, but going to church, basically.
Hang on, you've jumped forward again. You got excited. Get to 18.
What's that?
18, and then it's 19. Yep.
Well, I started injecting at 18.
Yeah.
At 19, I stopped doing witchcraft. That's it. I went back to Plassey Gospel Church. Then I started, basically, with my mum and everyone, get going in church, and Johnny and Sarah as well. Everyone really helped me and see about God. And I basically started to come back and have a relationship with God. So that's the first time I've always believed in God, and I've always known he's there, but I didn't understand the principle of being saved and actually being with God, a relationship. And that's what I needed, and basically that's what happened. So
one thing, just, we're going to go into part three. Now, part three then takes us from his ages 21 onwards. One of the things that really struck me about Richard was you've never heard him once try and blame anybody else. It's no one else's fault. He knew the right and wrong, as he said, from his parents. He was brought up correctly. But never, ever once did he ever try and blame anyone for the circumstances he got himself involved in, which to me was phenomenal. When we spoke for the first time, and I can remember it, and I got tears in my eyes now thinking about it. It's amazing to think. It's no one else. I'm meant to be supporting you, not the other way around.
Sorry, don't worry.
We're only here in case he gets messed up. It's not the other way around. It's going well, isn't it?
It's okay, it's okay.
So now we go into ages 21 onwards. Again, 21. We'll see what happens.
Right, about 21 now. Basically, one day, I injected about 7 grams of speed and a gram of coke. I went out and I ended up in a fight, and I really hurt this guy. In Penarth Town, basically, I virtually put him in a coma. And then I've obviously got caught by the police. I had to go to court and everything. And I actually got found not guilty for that, but I got found guilty for witness intimidation, carrying a knife and driving. I was charged with GBH, basically.
Which is what? What's that mean?
Section 18 with intent. It's grievous bodily harm, basically. That's what I got arrested for. But I actually got found not guilty for that in Crown Court, and got found guilty for witness intimidation because I went and threatened him afterwards not to go to court and grass me up, as they call it. And I had a knife on me, and I was driving a car without a licence. So I ended up having 14 months in Crown Court, and I served 9 months in Cardiff Jail. This is the second time now. I was quite far from God at this point. And I had a girlfriend, Rhiann, which she stayed through with me all the way through jail and everything. And basically, she was my rock. So I've come out of jail now, and I'm a little bit... When I come out of jail, it's so hard when you come out. I was scared because, like, you know, you even to open a door or earning keys, because I'd been locked up in a room for so long, it was weird coming out of jail. But, and I was straight. I'd taken little bits of drugs in jail, but I wasn't really, like, obviously on it every single day. Then, basically, when I got out of jail with Rhiann, we split up for a while, after about 6 months, and I really... Like, because I was off my face, like, going mad again, and she just left me, which I don't blame her. And I needed her back in my life, because I knew I was either going to die or I'd be back in jail for the rest of my life. So I needed her. So basically, how I done this, I don't know. But I come clean, I got clean, and I was about clean for about a year, and I got Rhiann back. So it took me about 9 months, but I got her back, basically. So we moved to Cardiff at that time. I had to move away from Penarth to sort myself out. And then I started working, and... then it was weird. After the year of being clean, I got into heroin, and then it was just create another thing. This is like a class A drug, and then I was still away from God at the time, but I was still, like, you know, still praying and still doing things. But my relationship wasn't solid with God. So, but the heroin had calmed me down. So I wasn't, when you're taking speed and LSD, basically it's like a hyper drug. So I was, like, really out there and like volatile, or someone said something to me, I could poof straight away, I was mad, basically. That's why I was mad. That's all I can say. But heroin did actually calm me down. Heroin provides you to be able to, I could be on heroin now and you wouldn't even know. I'd be like this now, which I'm not, but I just say that's so... I just say that's you.
Don't spoil the end.
I'm not spoiling the end, but I'm just saying, like, that's what heroin's like. So I started to work a bit, labouring. I was on and off the door, and I got onto methadone, then a methadone program, which allowed me to have a bit of a structure in my life, because when you take methadone, methadone's a substitute for heroin, so you can actually take that. It don't give you a buzz or anything. It just helps you be normal, because when you haven't got heroin in your system, you're in pure pain, you're in agony, you've got cramps, diarrhea, you're sweating, you're hot, you're cold. It's really bad when you haven't got it in your system. So, where am I?
Yeah,
right. About age 27, we bought our first house. Basically, my nan left me some money, about £10,000, and Rhiann's nan left us some money, about £8,000, and we put that towards the house instead of spending it all on heroin. Basically, so we got our first house in Riverside in Cardiff. And then at 33, when I moved there, I started going to Leckwith Gospel Hall, which is my church now where I go, where my nan and granddad go. So I started going back to Leckwith, and I've really grown...
Just come back one, sorry. Back one. We've jumped 6 years there, I'm afraid.
Have I?
Yeah, we've done 27 to 33. That's
so many.
I didn't fill that bit in.
Okay.
Age 27 to 33 was pretty consistent for both Rhiann and for Richard. They were just consistently just doing heroin. They were still on the methadone. The bizarre conversations I'm having where methadone keeps them normal, but then they take the heroin as well. So he's been doing heroin this whole time. All right. So even through all of this, heroin's been part of his life. Methadone has given him the base level, And then the heroin's given him the extra bit as well. So don't think he stopped doing heroin in those 6 years. He's just jumped. He's okay. Carried on consistently working, but still doing the heroin as well. Now we'll let you go to 33.
Okay, cheers, mate. Right, so I'm in Leckwith Gospel Hall. And obviously I'm still taking drugs, but I'm still going to church. And this is what I found really hard. Because I'm sticking a needle in my arm every day, injecting heroin. And then I'm still praying and going to church. I'm going out preaching with my church, going to Bible studies. And I was really struggling with it. I actually come and spoke to Simon and Gerwin here and said to him how I felt. Because I felt so guilty that I didn't feel like I was worthy of being a part of God. And I was thinking, like, you know, surely what I'm doing, like, God's still not going to want me, you know, even though I'm doing all these things and I'm believing and really trying and reading my Bible and really committing and making a relationship with God, I still didn't feel worthy. And Simon and Gerwin took me over there and sat me down and they prayed for me and spoke to me and basically gave me the belief back that God still does want you. Doesn't matter, like, all these things, what I've done, God still wants me. And that's what I'm trying to say to people. It doesn't matter what you do, God will still want you. It doesn't matter how bad things get. No matter how bad things get, God will still love you and take you into his family. So, right, where am I?
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. We've just done right. That there and went on to here.
Right, so now we're into 2015. This is last year. Basically, last year I really made a massive effort to sort my life out. I started praying more, reading my Bible more, going to more studying, going out to the church more, going to more meetings in my church, the Monday prayer night, twice on a Sunday. I didn't always go twice on Sunday, but I tried so much. And basically, I thought the rapture was going to happen. I'm not sure if everyone knows what the rapture is. Basically, in September, we had 4 tetrad moons. It was the last blood moon in September. And I thought the rapture was going to happen, that Jesus was going to come back in September. So I made I thought to myself, I can't be sat in my house with a needle in my arm and then God's coming back. I just could not get that into my head. So I thought, right, I've got to stop. I've got to stop. And basically I stopped on August the 31st, which is 133 days ago. And I have not touched a drug since then. Basically,
amen.
I've been clean for 133 days. And now I'm a proper believer and a practicing Christian. I continue to go to Leckwith on Sundays and Bible studies in Craig's house and in my own church. I just want to tell everyone how I met God. Thank you very much.
Superb. Thank you, mate. Thank you. Okay. See you. Okay, I can tell you now, it's been a pleasure to have Richard attend the courses. One thing, he has missed out a few things, which is kind of semi-intentional, but it's only fair to say. Ruth, as always, as his mum and his dad, have always been, you know, thinking of him. So we kind of intentionally left him out because he didn't want to be talking about his mum and his partner too much. But rest assured, obviously, they've been very upset. They've been through the mill, as you can imagine. So as we said, we're going to pray for the parents. And for Rhiann, I went and met Rhiann on Friday, and it was absolutely superb. I was, you won't believe this bit, but I was lost for words. I didn't know what to say. It didn't last for long, but I was genuinely lost for words. They are a truly amazing couple together. God has definitely worked in Rhiann's life, and that's why I wanted to pray for Rhiann.
Please pray for Rhiann,
been superb for him.
She's been clean as well. So
yeah, so it's very important to pray for Rhiann as well. Rhiann's looking to come to our house group as well to ask some questions. She's funny enough, she's got some of the same questions as some of the guys in her own group have had already. And God's working her life. And she's been, in a strange way, a little bit of a guardian angel for him. So I want us to pray for Rhiann. Rhiann is his partner. He's been with and known her basically since he was in junior school. Obviously, we've got Richard. We've got Ruth, his mum, over there. Dad, his brother. You know. So what I want us to do now is to take some time just to pray for Richard, for Rhiann. I'm just going to leave it open, and then when I think it's an appropriate time, I'll pray myself for Richard and for the family.
Thank you.
And then we'll let Richard go back down. So thank you.
Okay, cheers.
Can I stay here?
Okay.
So desperate to get
back. I'm not desperate. Sorry, go on.
No worries. So we just leave it for you guys to pray. It'd be great. Thank you. for giving the strength and the courage to say the things that he said this morning. Lord, there are many other things he could have said. Lord, we're not trying to over-glamorize this. Lord, we know the one consistent thing here, Lord, is you've continually loved him. Lord, we just thank you for that love. We pray now for Richard, for Rian, for Ruth, and the rest of the family. Give them that strength now, Lord, and help them, Lord, we pray, on their journey, together and as individuals. Thank you once again, Lord, for this in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thanks very much.